and local with Monica Jay on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk. This segment is brought to you by HireMeNevada.com.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. Doesn't matter what county you live in, we're talking about it all. Hence today's poll question. This is something that's come up in numerous news articles just over the last couple of days, and that is about our wonderful little town of Minden-Gardnerville area. So there's a siren there that was once known as the Sundowner Siren, to let people of color know that it was time for them to leave. Well, this is long past history. It had to be dredged up, just like all this other history we have being dredged up and being looked at for the wrong reason. I mean, now the siren is used to let people know if disaster is coming. There's something going on. But do we get rid of something because of its history and then have to replace something because it's needed for community safety? Ugh. Log on, 991fmtalk.com. Answer today's poll question. Should Minden remove the siren?
No.
I recognize that voice. I have a guest. So, Mr. Evans,
I'm not a guest. I'm just a listener with an opinion. And a little bit of background here. Again, I've only lived in Nevada 16 years. This was an issue about 12, 13, 14 years ago. And the spin on it then versus now, and it would be, you know, the nice thing about this little bit of controversy is that maybe people of Douglas County or Washoe County or whatever can learn a little bit about it. So first of all, let me go back to there, you know, half a dozen families that settled the Carson Valley, one of which is the Hellwinkle family. Hang on a second. Let me turn my phone down. Hellwinkle. Been around forever, and there are still descendants of that. And he recently pointed out that the siren at noon and 6 p.m. was used for the ag workers, for the ranchers in the area. At 12 noon, come in for lunch. At 6 p.m., your day is over. That's one way that it was used, probably during the early part of the 19th century. It was also been said that it was used. Indians, a tribe, the Washoe tribe, could come into town after 12 noon and leave by 6 p.m. And that may be one of the things that that was an issue 14, 15 years ago. People of color, this is revisionist history or cause, and I wish the people that were around that know more about the history of it, which, again, it would certainly seem to make sense and it would serve a good purpose if 12 noon, come out of the fields, it's lunchtime, and then 6 p.m., your day is over, head home.
I believe that was the 1908 was the ag workers, and the 1938 was the Indian tribe.
Yeah, and can I bring up the elephant in the room? Indians and drinking alcohol have always been a problem, more so than it has been with descendants of European nature, you know, white people. There's something about they have health issues today because they've adopted the lifestyle and the diet that we have, and their bodies genetically over the thousands of years were never developed to eat as much sugar and starch as white people do. And it's evident if you go to any reservation or look at the overall Indian population, that their health is not good. And that is not just me in my opinion. I have a son that's in the medical field. I have friends that are doctors. That's just fact. So, but this whole snowflake, I'm offended by this thing, is just the state that we live in now, which is, again, you got a siren that goes off at noon and six. I liked it when I lived in Minden. I can't quite hear it. I'm over against the foothill now, but It's 12 noon. Okay. It's 6 p.m. Okay. So it serves can serve a purpose. People know it's 12 noon. How about the bells that go off in downtown Carson City at the casino? It's again, it's not really bells. It's a recording of bells. But those go off. And I'm sure there's somebody that's going to be offended by that because of some reason. So,
well,
you know,
bells,
can't you just
bells
get other
remind
things
people of church? So that I'm sure.
Well, there you go. The pagans are protesting now. I mean, it's just this
That's right.
ridiculous. We got to have something to complain about, I guess. Hey, I wanted to mention one quick thing, and then I've got to get out the door and
yeah,
get some
I know
business
you're
done.
The owner of the radio station, but I got a guest from Washington D.C. on hold.
I'll
so
let him get there
it.
Real quick. So I came down with strep throat, and there's a little bit of a silver lining to say. I'm bringing a bright spot to the show today. There's a little bit of a silver lining to this COVID, this plandemic, this scamdemic, this hoax, as I call it. And that is that people are very, very cautious now about getting somebody else sick. I don't understand this complete paranoia about getting sick, but I've been blessed with a really good immune system. That being said, I did come down with strep. Earlier in the week and was feeling pretty crappy on Monday. I took an antibiotic Monday evening. By Tuesday, I was feeling 100% better or 99.1% better. And but I'll go ahead and poison myself with these antibiotics for the good of mankind and make sure I don't infect anybody. And next time I get Ebola, though, I'm just going to show up for dinner.
Well, we're glad you did.
All right, Evan's out.
Jerry, thank you so much for joining us. All right, let's get to that talk and text line and get with David Mole. David, I'm so sorry to keep you on hold.
Not a problem.
But, you know, we have a wonderful local owner, and it is so nice to be owned by a family that doesn't have to deal with all this network restrictions and everything like that. So we can pretty much get out there and get the truth out. So for anybody,
I learned a lot about sirens and bells. I mean, this was really nice. I learned about the sirens and the bells. Seriously, I never gotten that history lesson before. So it was very informative.
So for people who haven't don't recognize the name, David has joined us before. David Williams is the president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. And David, can you help clear up this whole thing with the post office? Because, you know, in local smaller communities, people know their postal workers. It's small. Yeah. They're part of the community. You get into bigger cities, though, and it's just a corporate giant. You know, people don't know how they fit in with the government and the money, and it's a pseudo government agency. Would you please explain that?
So that's a great distinction, is talking about, you know, small towns versus the big cities. And the problem is that we are having a national discussion about the post office, and there's just so much misinformation coming out of Washington, D.C., because we hear these things that mailboxes are being carted away. We see the pictures of these flatbed trucks with, you know, dozens of mailboxes, and they're leaving the city. Well, this is being done for a really good reason. It's to save money, because what the post office does is they monitor how many pieces of mail go into each mailbox. And if there's less than 25 pieces per day over a 6 to 8 week period, they go, this is an underperforming mailbox. We'll remove it. We'll save money. We'll save man hours for people, you know, taking the mail out. So this is actually a cost saving measure that's been going on for many years before President Trump was President Trump. So this has been going on for years. It happened under the Obama administration, and we didn't hear anybody complaining about it when it happened under the Obama administration.
The Just same like thing the kids in cages.
Yes, exactly. This is exactly that. It's a great analogy, because it's happening at the post office because they think it's getting them political points. That's why Nancy Pelosi is having a vote tomorrow. Saturday is supposed to be a day of rest, but Nancy Pelosi is bringing the House back into session to vote on a nonsensical postal reform bill. Now, listen, I'm all about postal reform, but this is not the way to do it. You don't talk about ways that are actually saving money. So this is it makes no sense. And like I said, there's so much misinformation.
Well, plus, isn't the Congress delinquent, and haven't they been delinquent in their payments to the Postal Service for decades?
So what's happened is that the Congress has actually been very generous to the post office because they keep on lending them money that
bailing them out
never pays back. And yeah. This actually happened just a couple of months ago. They gave the post office $10 billion in a relief bill. In a coronavirus relief bill, the post office received $10 billion because, you know, when you're talking about trillions of dollars, why not sneak in a few billion here or there? And that's exactly what Congress did. But they're not, you know, requiring them to reform in any way. They're just giving them these blank checks and saying, just keep on doing what you're doing. So we finally have a postmaster general who's like, okay, I've been in the private sector. I've worked with the post office as part of the private sector. I know how to fix this. And he's being criticized for it, which I think is the wrong thing. You should be, you know, praising this guy. They should be giving him kudos, not, you know, dragging him up before committees and putting him through these dog and pony shows.
Yeah, we had somebody that sent in an email here not too long ago as we were talking about the post office a couple of weeks ago. Well, actually, we've been talking about it most every other day with people writing in and saying, well, we never get our mail half the time. We have to go looking for it, or we get the neighbor's mail and whatnot. But it just goes to show that every place is different. Because we got very positive reviews on our distribution center here, that it runs like clockwork. It's, you know, a big, beautiful facility. People are happy. And yet you go across the country, West Virginia is an example, and they used to have 7 distribution centers, and now they have 1 that actually has to serve 3 other communities in states around them. So it's nice to have, it's like President Trump coming from the business sector and running the government like a business. Now we're going to see that with the Postmaster General.
So you notice how he upset the apple cart in 2016 when he was elected, because people freaked out. It's like, oh my gosh, this guy isn't beholden to any party, to really any politicians. And it was a breath of fresh air. And listen, we may not like his tweets, but we like his policy, and his policies have worked. Tax reform, regulatory reform. So it's really upending the apple cart, and that's what's happening at the post office. And this is an entity that we want to survive, is that we want the post office to be around for a very long time, because a lot of people depend upon the mail. The problem is that you have so many decisions being made inside the agency. And again, Congress is responsible for not mandating that we reform the post office, but you have the post office saying we are going to deliver packages at a loss. And we're not going to tell you the calculation of how much it costs, but we have seen that each package are losing about $1.50 per package to deliver these packages. So the mismanagement inside the post office is insane, and they're losing money. First class mail is still making money. I mean, listen, we know traffic is going down. Volume is going down with first-class mail. That just makes sense. They are still making money on first-class mail. It's the overnight packages where they're losing the bulk of their money, and they refuse to, A, give us the information, and, B, change the way that they're doing business.
Yeah. Jeff Bezos has enough money. He can work out a deal with the post office to deliver Amazon packages at a benefit that keeps the post office surviving. So we have to get the money from where it needs to come from and start charging people for all those damn flyers that I can't stand getting in the mail, all those coupons and everything. So, David, in your expert opinion, is our election safe with the post office the way that it is functioning now?
So I hate to say this, but yes and no, because the post office delivers 2.7 billion pieces of mail a week. We're talking about 145 million ballots. So, yes, they have the capacity. The post office has the capacity. It depends upon the states to make sure that the ballots are sent out properly, there isn't any fraud, and that they have the resources to do this. The post office can handle this. Can state and local governments handle it? That's a whole other question. So, yes, the post office is more than ready to do this. And, I mean, there are a lot of other questions about, you know, mail fraud and other things, but the capacity is definitely there, trust me.
Well, and I think the frustration and the anger is being pushed off on the post office. When people are really concerned about ballot harvesting, about somebody else other than the post office going out and picking up those ballots. And it's unfair to drag the post office into that.
No, it is. And I saw something yesterday that they are not allowing postal workers to be the witness for these mail-in ballots, because apparently you need a witness before you send in a mail-in ballot. And I don't have a problem with that, because imagine, you know, you go to a chain is only as strong as its weakest link, right? So if you have a postal worker signing all of these things, these fraudulent ballots, that's a huge problem. So, you know, but again, it's not necessarily the Postal Service's problem. And a lot of my friends, you know, their parents have worked for the Postal Service, and they're wonderful people, and they mean well, and they're trying to do their job. It's just at times management doesn't allow them to. And we've heard horror stories where they say, you know, you have to deliver these packages before you deliver mail. So we'd rather you leave the mail in the truck than a package in your truck. And this is the marching orders they're getting, is to deliver what they're losing money on first. And I mean, I gotta tell you, I wouldn't mind paying $1.50 extra to get my package. You know, if I'm ordering something from Amazon, if that's what it takes to make the post office whole and financially viable and not have to get a bailout from taxpayers, count me in.
David, how can people find out more about the Taxpayers Association Protection Alliance and how you are protecting people?
So we're at protectingtaxpayers.org. And this week we have so many things on our website about the post office. So we have so many resources for people to go to. And what we're trying to do is educate people, because, you know, we've seen the viral videos of the mailboxes being hauled away. We've heard, you know, Nancy Pelosi, you know, losing her mind over this. We want to bring some reason into this, and let's look at the facts and see what's really going on, so people can decide, you know, for themselves. And when people are upset, call your member of Congress. I mean, that's the ultimate voice we have, is to call your member of Congress and demand change.
And then you see that one picture of the postal guy picking up the Trump signs. That doesn't do him any good either. So,
no,
David, thank
you
so much for joining us. Again, it's taxpayersprotection.org. And I know we'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks, David.
Thank you so much. Bye.
All right. We'll be back right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Live streaming at 991fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, KKFT 99.1.
The work never stops. Just now booking an interview for tomorrow at 11:30 with Assemblywoman Jill Tolles. So if you would like to join us then, we're going to be talking about the unemployment situation and Dieter. So we're going to have some great information on that, again, with Assemblywoman Jill Tolles. Also coming up on the show, we will have the National Press Secretary in just about 10 minutes from now. We're going to be talking about the economy, because if you haven't heard already, well, our economy just got another huge hit, because the city of Reno, go figure, denied permits to street vibrations because of COVID-19. So the one event that people were joking that wasn't going to be canceled and was going to happen, Street Vibrations 2020, has been officially canceled. But, you know, Sturgis was just going on, what was it, last weekend? And Antifa did show up, which was pretty funny, because boy, did they get a beat down there. Somebody kicked a bike. Yeah, bikers don't like that when you kick their bike. That's just, you know, everything was going fine up until that point. And then the police had to step in and protect the Antifa thugs. Nah, not thugs, not in this case, the Antifa punks they had to protect from the motorcyclists who were in Sturgis. So what is it, like 450,000 people over the event? I mean, that's a whole lot of bikers packed in to a location. It was actually five times the regular population. So, here in Nevada, go figure. It gets canceled because the city of Reno won't allow the permits for a plandemic, scamdemic, whatever you want to call it. So just one more hit to our economy. 2020, why did we even sign up for it? It's not about a virus. It's not about racism. It's not about sexism. It is about an election. And speaking of that, we're going to talk to the National Press Secretary about the economy, the Trump economy, and how even with all the slings and arrows the Democrats are throwing at him, around the rest of the country, the economy is starting to boom again. Just not here in our Democrat-controlled state. We'll be back right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM Talk station. 99.1 KKFT.
Of course, we always want you to participate. It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're with me today. Special guest coming up in just a moment. First off, though, I want to direct you to the website, 991fmtalk.com. Answer today's poll question. Should a community safety warning sign in Minden be removed, siren, because it started out with a racist purpose? But as we're learning history, it didn't start out with a racist purpose. 6 o'clock, Native Americans need to be out. Nope, started in agriculture before that. Noon, siren run off. It was lunchtime. 6 o'clock, siren run off. It was quitting time. So when we dredge up history and try to turn it into something bad, you have to dredge up all of history to see what's been hiding behind it. So far, 10% of those participating in the poll at 991fmtalk.com say yes, it should be removed. 90% say no. It's a siren that the community can hear in times of disaster, which, I don't know, from what we've seen for 2020, pretty much seems to be a disaster. If you didn't hear before the break, our one last economic special event to keep this economy going, Street Vibrations Motorcycle Rally, now canceled for 2020. The city of Reno, because of COVID-19, the scamdemic, the plandemic, they are not issuing the permits. That's how you cancel an event, and that's how you cancel an economy. When the rest of the state or the rest of the country is bouncing back and doing great because of the Trump administration and policies that he has in place, our president, a Democrat-controlled states, all Democrat-controlled states are in the toilet. Sorry to use that type of language as we go to a very prominent figure in the Trump campaign, and that is Hogan Gidley. And Hogan is the National Press Secretary. Hogan, thank you so much for joining the show today here.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on. I do appreciate the time.
Hogan, around the country, we're seeing economic benefits come back. We're seeing businesses open up. We're seeing the market come back and flourish. Why is it in these Democrat states we are still on complete lockdown?
Look, that's a good question. Obviously, Democrat
states have their own agendas for various things. I'm still waiting for the Democrats at the Democrat convention to explain why there's rioting and looting and death and destruction in all the cities controlled by Democrats. I'm still waiting for that type of information, too. So it's doubtful you're going to hear in the next couple of days, or the final day, I guess, of the Democrat convention, why all of these left states want to keep schools locked down. Look, we want businesses and schools to open back up in full. There's no question, but we want them to do it in a safe way. The president's talked about this many times. He's listened to the health experts, listened to the medical experts, and data shows, obviously, that this virus affects adults way more than it does children. And so, you need to plan accordingly. But Democrat governors, I would not want to ascribe political motive to their behavior. But when you look around and see some of the information and data, you kind of have to wonder what exactly their intention is with this virus. And hopefully, they'll come to their senses, and hopefully, the numbers will look good, and we can do this in a safe way.
Well, Hogan, I'm confused watching the Democrat convention. What pieces I've seen, I don't hear any solutions. I don't hear any policies. All I hear is bashing of Trump and what he's done wrong, yet the country seems to be coming out of this quite well.
They have two themes so far. One is they hate Donald Trump. Yeah, we get it. You came after him with a fake, phony Russian witch hunt hoax for 3 years. You lied about impeachment. And in the face of 95% negative news coverage, you don't need to tell us again you don't like him. We get it. But number two is Joe Biden's a nice guy. Well, that's great. But that doesn't mean he needs to sit behind the Resolute desk. I know a lot of nice guys. I know a lot of nice girls. It doesn't mean they should be president of this country. So
I loved my grandfather, but I wouldn't have wanted him to be president.
Same exact thing. I was just going to say I loved him, but that doesn't mean he should be president. And so much of it is what they're not talking about. Joe Biden has had a 50-year career, half of a century in elected office. They're not talking about any of his accomplishments at all. Have you noticed? They're not talking about their agenda items that have been corrupted and now embraced that are so radical and so left, socialist in nature and in scope. They want to remake this country in the image of nations that look nothing like this country, defunding the police. We heard throughout the day yesterday to get rid of capitalism, that if we don't open our borders, then we're all going to go to hell, which is ironic when you consider Democrats say the country is so inherently evil and so inherently bad, but yet they want more people to come here. Why would you want people to come here if the country's so bad?
Well, and why would we be supporting Planned Parenthood if, you know, this is so evil and people will die and all of that? Why is Planned Parenthood up and running during a shutdown?
Oh, that's great. That's an essential business, according to the left. So are liquor stores and everything else. Churches aren't essential. You can't get together with your friends, even though socially distanced with masks. They get to dictate to you what they think is essential and what is open and what is closed. And so it's a very interesting convention for the last several days. A lot of mixed messages, a lot of lack of self-awareness. When you have Bill Clinton lecturing the country on how the Oval Office should be treated, how the Oval Office should be used, you lost me. You lost me with that one. When you have John Kerry telling us about foreign policy failures, when you gave $1.8 billion in cash to Iran and then admitted that money would probably be used to commit acts of terrorism against the United States, I don't need to hear from you about what foreign policy failures you think worked and didn't work. So it's been kind of, I guess it would be funny if it weren't so sad, if it weren't so dangerous, if it weren't so radical. But our job is to expose that. I think we're going to do it not just with the next 24 hours here, but when we start our convention, you're going to see a marked difference in what we do versus what they did.
Well, I think we're going to see a very big difference on support as well, because the one thing that stood out to me glaringly is not only the fact that Biden didn't seem to know where he was when he was accepting the nomination for the run, but all they had was pictures of people in their homes clapping, but they had so few of those, they had to keep running the same ones. So you would think if they were going to do that, they might want to have a few more captions.
I know, and you saw they doubled up a couple of them in their little screen with like 8 or 10 people. Some of them were used multiple times. I think 3 of them were used multiple. It shows you the lack of enthusiasm for Joe Biden. Right now we have 78% of the people who are supporting Donald Trump are supporting him because he's Donald Trump. Only 38% of Joe Biden supporters are supporting him because he's Joe Biden. That's down from Hillary Clinton, who had 42% of support supporting her because she was who she was. So it's pretty obvious when you have more than a billion views, billion with a B, across our social media platforms. Anytime Joe Biden goes on camera on the computer, it's basically 19 viewers. I clicked on one time and there were literally 19 people. I think 17 of those were members of the media just wanting to donate, and the other two were staffers that had to be there. I mean, no one wants to click on a link to watch this guy. Meanwhile, our supporters would crawl across broken glass to vote for him because they know, the forgotten men and women of this country understand they've been forgotten no more under this president. He's worked to make sure everyone succeeds, regardless of race, religion, color, creed, gender. Everyone was doing better when Donald Trump had this economy running. And with this unprecedented, unforeseen coronavirus that came in, even in the face of that, we've seen 3 months of consecutive record job growth in the history of this country. And Joe Biden's solution, instead of saying we need to continue down the path, they say we're going to do a 180 and I'm going to tax the American people by $4 trillion. How in the world does that make any sense whatsoever? It doesn't. And we're going to prove it over the next week.
Well, and we have to start making sure that everybody understands about apples and oranges, because they're trying to put it off that other countries didn't lose, you know, so many jobs and they sustained things when they have rules in place that you can't fire people and they have rules in place that have to keep up standards. We don't. People just got fired. People got laid off. So the numbers are going to be different.
Oh, of course. The apples to oranges comparisons always kind of made me angry. When I was actually in the White House, having just come to the campaign about a month ago, it was always infuriating to me to watch the liberal media, the mainstream media, point out and use the phrase per capita when it suited them. So it was the worst, response because of the infection rate per capita. And then we found out it wasn't per capita. Then they dropped using the word per capita and just said, in totality, it's the worst. I mean, they use what they want to use to push their narrative. And, regardless of what Joe Biden does or doesn't do, the media are going to protect him. They're going to portray him as brilliant. So be prepared, because if you thought the love fest was going on hardcore for the last 4 days, just wait for the next 70, because they are really going to do everything they can to really try and prop him up, because he can barely prop himself up at this point.
Well, I can guarantee you that people here in Nevada, if we have to, we will be crawling across broken glass to get early voting starts on October 17th. So we're going to be out there and we're going to be coming for our president. So thank you so much for joining us today. Hogan Gidley is the national press secretary for the Trump campaign. And I hope to speak to you again soon in a much better economy.
Hopefully after our convention. I'd love to come back on. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks. Thank you so much. Sounds great. Hogan Gidley there. We've had some wonderful guests on today, but it's all about being live and local and how this affects us. Look at what this president is trying to do for us. What President Trump is trying to get across to people. Yet we have a governor, Governor Sisolak, who pretty much outlaws churches, going to fine you. Can't have over this many people. I mean, that's fine for some smaller congregations. But then when congregations get together and say, hey, let's just go to a casino. All they have to do is 50% capacity. So let's go get one of their convention rooms. And, you know, if it seats up to 1,000 people, we can have 500 people in there. We'll just take precautions and spread everybody apart. Yeah. Worst thing that you can do is go against a tyrannical governor. Casino got fined. Future events got shut down for the church. But I'm pretty sure that if somebody else wanted to, if Antifa wanted to get together, oh wait, no, Antifa still does get together in groups bigger than 50. BLM as well. No problem with that. But if you're a church, it's a problem. Well, you can join our church at fightfornevada.com. No, it's for everybody. It's a movement. It's Democrats, it's independents, it's Republicans who will once again put out the petition as soon as we have enough volunteers, which I think Clark County is really close to having their 800 volunteers. So we're just waiting on Washoe County. Washoe County. I know you want to sign that petition to get him recalled. But where's the help? Log on to fightfornevada.com. Contact Linda Thompson. Go on to their Facebook page, Recall Sisolak. If you have signed a petition online to get this governor recalled, you've been scammed. Recall petitions, official recall petitions that have been registered with the Secretary of State, cannot be done online. It is not a legitimate recall petition. You have to be involved in Fight for Nevada. Fightfornevada.com. We can win. We just have to have you participate. We'll be back after this to wrap up the show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Fox News and live FM Talk Radio. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. And live right now with your calls.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're here today. Be here tomorrow, too. 11:30. Assemblywoman Jill Tolles is going to be joining us, and we're going to see what we can do about Dieter, have a little conversation about that debacle, and all kinds of good stuff tomorrow. It's Friday. We have to bring some great stuff on Friday, something lighthearted, so I'll make sure I find you something. But this just came into me from a friend as a text. When I go get my mail, sometimes the mail person doesn't close the back door. So everyone's mail is just out there in the open. So my daughter and I take all the mail out, and we actually take it to the houses and give it to the people. The people are so happy when we do this. I also call the mailing office and tell them what happened. Okay, so if this is, well, first off, be careful doing that and knowing your community. Because if somebody rats you out, that's literally tampering with the mail. And there can be big consequences. But if this is a continuous problem, when you have reported it, then you have to ask, why is it a continuous problem if you reported it? These things should not be happening. It's not rocket science. Mailmen and women are stressed, just like everybody else. They're out working in this smoke and heat. But still, this is what you signed up for. It's the same thing with the UPS drivers and the FedEx drivers. I don't think I've ever found somebody else's package on my doorstep. These mistakes have to stop happening on such a regular occurrence. If somebody is not up to the job, because I know the post office is hiring, there's big signs in the windows. If somebody's not up to the job, if you can't fire them, put them someplace else where they're not doing something so important. For people, their medications, their communications, the Postal Service is their lifeline. We have to protect it, but taxpayers shouldn't have to be paying through the nose for a service that could be taking care of itself. That's just bad mismanagement. And we got to fix it. Have a great day. Stay out of the smoke. Breathe healthy. Breathe happy. Just breathe. It'll all be over soon enough. But don't waste today. Read a book you've been wanting to do. Listen to something that you've wanted to listen to. And just be happy today.